Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to ADAP's podcast, Prevention 365, Prevention Every Day in Every Way. All right, this is ADAP's weekly podcast to talk about issues related to alcohol, tobacco, and other drugs, or ATOD, in a prevention sense, right? And when you think about it, that's prevention, that's whole person, that means life in general is about prevention and being your best. This is a podcast that was conceived and hosted and conducted by ADAP's community prevention team in partnership with the development team. And the great thing is they have let everybody from ADAP have a chance at Prevention 365, prevention every day in every way. My name is Joel Jacinto, and I'm part of the West Adams Worksource Center, or the Employment Access Team here at ADAP. And you know what? I am pleased to introduce right now two titans of the community, right? The concept and this prevention podcast is going to be Talk Story with Mike and Carrie. Let's welcome them, Mike and Carrie. You know, together, Mike and Carrie have over almost a century of service. Over a century of service in terms of their tenures as executives. They are, I like to consider them the ali'i of API leadership. Ali'i is a Hawaiian term for royalty. The ali'i of API leadership, right? And I think this is Carrie's first time in terms of a podcast, and I don't think...
I'm nervous now.
No, it's okay, bro. This is talk story time. With Carrie and Mike, and Mike and Carrie. So this is your time. But I don't think you folks have been ever interviewed together. So this is something that we're going to do that's new, okay? And we're going to start it off by kind of just checking in. Mike, you've just, you know, made a kind of a big transition in your life, and there's all kinds of things going on. So we wanted to get a check-in and start with that traditional Hawaiian greeting of how's it? Mike, how's it?
How's it?
How are you?
Good.
Good? How do you feel?
Good.
Good. I mean, last week was last Thursday was a big time for you, yep. Yeah? How was that for you?
Annual board meeting, my last annual board meeting. Wow. Yep. And on Monday, I became President Emeritus.
Woo, P.E.
President Emeritus. Means I don't do too much anymore.
So what have you been doing the last 3 days? What did you do?
Oh, I've been checking my email and stuff like that, but okay. Mostly cleaning the office and getting rid of old documents and things of that nature.
All right. Yeah. Walking down memory lane a little bit, too? Yeah?
Yeah.
All right, we're going to talk about that, too, but... Thank you, Mike.
People don't bother me anymore.
You're still on. You're still checking.
Actually, I'm in the smaller office. It's closer to the door, so people walk by all the time now. You know, in my old office, I was in a real big office way back in the corner, and people have to walk all the way across the office to come to talk to me, right? So they're kind of intimidated, right? So they don't come in too much, but...
But now...
Now people drop you in.
Uh-oh. Put the sign out in front. Hey, you know? All right.
Which is good. I'm in that space right now, so good. That's good.
Good for you. Thank you again. That was a great moment for all of us to witness your transition. But in this stage of your life, Mike, we wish you the best. And, you know, as we say in Hawaii, mabuhay, may you live and thrive. All right? Okay, thank you, Mike. Carrie, how about you? How's it?
No make like that, bro. I'm nervous. Hey.
It's all good.
Yeah, you know, I'm getting older faster. That's how I am. Yeah, but it's all good. It's all good. They lied to me when they said that with age comes wisdom. But I'm smart enough to know that there's a whole lot of people that are a lot smarter than I am.
Mm. And that's being akamai or smart, too, that you know that. And you just surround yourself with those people, right?
Yeah, they got to be more smart than me.
Otherwise, they don't work with you, too. Well, welcome, Carrie. We haven't seen you in a little bit, too. But, you know, together, again, we say that you have almost 100 years, a century of community service and leadership. And when you think about it, that has everything to do with prevention and being the best of ourselves in as staff members, as community members in the API community. So you folks are really significant. When I think of the API movement that started almost 50 years ago, you know, Mike Watanabe, Kerry Doi, you know, two presidents and CEOs, long time of their organizations.
Kind We're of legends in our own minds.
Legends in your own time, in your own mind. That too. But, you know, now's the time for us to kind of, as we say in Hawaii, talk story. Talking story is just a casual way friends get together who haven't seen each other in a while to catch up, to vala'au, right, which means to talk story, or just to you know, just have shared time and space. And that's what we're going to do. And to get you in that mood, I'm going to ask you to go back and share with the viewers, maybe those who haven't met you before or don't know that you have roots in a very special place. So, Kerry, I'm going to ask you, you have roots. Where is your birthplace?
And that's my claim to fame.
Yeah.
Unless you actually go to the island, you will never meet another guy born on Molokai, Hawaii.
Why? What part of Molokai?
Mauna Loa.
Mauna Loa, shoot.
Right in the middle of the plantation, the pineapple plantation.
Pineapple.
Yeah, I'm proud to say that I'm the fourth generation born on a plantation.
Maikai. Maikai means excellent. Kerry, fourth generation.
Fourth generation.
And how old were you when you left?
Elementary school.
Elementary
time.
Small kind.
Yeah.
But you never lost Molokai, you know? It's still in you.
You can take the boy out of the ghetto, but you can't take the ghetto out of the boy.
Is it? Still in you. Right on. So you have roots in Molokai. Excellent.
Okay. Molokai to Kaimuki to Little Hawaii, which is what I call Gardena.
That's it. The island of Gardena. Okay, Mike, how about you? Roots in Hawaii, sir.
Well, you know, he's from the pineapple plantation. Mm. I'm from the sugarcane plantation.
Mm.
I'm a plantation guy, too.
Man.
Born on Big Island.
Big Island.
Pauilo, Hawaii.
Pauilo, Hawaii. Damn, you can't get more country than that.
Just up the mill, from the mill road in the Pauilo Mill.
Shoot.
So that's where I was born.
Born and stayed till you were, how old were you when you left Hawaii?
I was 10.
10?
Yeah.
So first decade, you were there.
Sixth grade.
And then you came to L.A.
Yep.
And then kind of figured out, wow, this is different than Pauilo.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
I fell off the pineapple truck and he fell off the
sugar truck
and landed in L.A.
Yes, sir. Amen. And look, I've been here ever since. So that's a trend. That's a theme here of being born on islands, of being born in work settings, you know, whether
it's
in the country, in poverty and hardship, and then translate that over here, right, to Los Angeles, the big city.
No jobs, no schools over there.
Right.
People had to come up here for jobs and schools.
Yeah, and that's what y'all did. You both did, too. Incredible. No, thank you for sharing that early part, you know, and I think for those our listeners who are listening to this now, that they want to know a little bit about your background. So, you know, we could do that in many different ways, but tell us a little bit about your professional background, or, you know, it's hard to encapsulate 46 years, but Mike, in general, what would you like to share about your work experience and your background?
Well, I come to ADAP and started ADAP and still here. But before that, I went to Venice High. I went to Santa Monica College. I went to Cal State Northridge. Was San Fernando Valley State College at the time.
Different name.
But then, you know, we got caught up in those early days in the lifestyle changes. I was a hippie in Venice. Summer of Love, San Francisco.
You had long hair, yeah.
Student activist. Then I got drafted, went in the Army, helicopter crew chief in Vietnam.
That's right.
But when I came out, went back to school, and that's when I started into settling into my profession. So back to what's now CSUN, discovered the profession of social work there. Went to UCLA grad school, social work school.
There you go, Bruins.
Then I was placed at Child, Youth, and Parent Counseling in Gardena, where ADAP was at the time. So I asked them for a sub placement at ADAP. That's how I started here.
And that's how it all started, ADAP. And what year was that? You remember?
That was a field placement. That was 1974, 75.
Long time.
Yeah.
Long time.
They gave me one case, this old hardhead named a Filipino guy, Rudy E. He had
Rudy Hardhead,
ex-con, right. and a chip on his shoulder, little guy like me. Yeah. I think they were laughing in the back room and they gave me that client. he ran circles around me. And, you know.
You remember the first client,
Rudy.
It
was, I was a college kid as far as he was concerned.
Okay.
Didn't work out very well.
But he was just your first.
Yeah.
And, you know, fast forward throughout the four decades after that, you've held numerous positions here at ADAP, yeah?
Yeah. Yeah, well, when I finished, they gave me a job. Mm-hmm. Okay, so it wasn't, you know, he might have run circles on me, but they still gave me a job. So I started as a counselor in the residential program, wow. TC, therapeutic community.
TC, and then to?
And then to coordinator. And then treatment director, and then CEO.
Incredible. And that for 46 years, Mike. That's an incredible trajectory, too. So you did good with Rudy, and you're still here 46 years later. Thank you for that. And there's a lot that we'll go back, but that's just basically an envelope of Mike Watanabe's career here from student intern to caseworker to president and CEO. That's compelling, too. Thank you, Mike, too. Carrie, your story. Pace, about the same time, right? Your 70s? How did you, you were a founder of Pace, yes?
Well, I was one of many.
Co-founder, yeah.
My career, if you will, I like to say began at 18 years old when there were a number of my counterparts that were taking dangerous drugs. At the time, it was a barbiturate called Reds, Seconal. It was a very addictive drug, and these guys didn't fit the JA stereotype. And so they weren't the Asian overachievers.
They weren't.
And so they got a lot of pressure from their parents and others, and couldn't handle it. And so they took Reds as an escape to be able to relieve the pressure.
Right.
Unfortunately, it's a very addictive drug. And in 1969, nine guys died of suicide. Most of them behind Reds, or actually they're all because of their addiction to Reds. One locked himself in the car in the garage and turned on the engine, and died of carbon monoxide poisoning. Right, but it was all behind their addiction to Reds.
And these were your friends.
Yeah? These were my friends. Wow. They were all nine of them were half a year behind me in school, and so that's why a bunch of community activists got together and formed the South Bay Asian Involvement. To provide an alternative to young people to taking Reds or dangerous drugs.
In the early 70s, Carrie, yeah?
Actually, in 69.
In 69.
Right, when these nine suicides happened. And that's when we said we need an alternative and formed South Bay Asian Involvement. But we needed something more. We needed a drug treatment center. Mm, mm. And so that's when my roommate Gary Uekawa at the time, and Carl Nobuyuki,
who was new
director of youth services for the city of Gardena, mm. got together and wrote a proposal and submitted it to the feds, and I forgot what NIDA was called at the time, the National Institute of Drug Abuse.
It was NIMH at the time. There was no NIDA at the time.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And so that's when his first proposal mm-hmm. submission was declined. Mm. Carl brought in a consultant, a specialist that knew all about how to set up drug abuse programs and put together a winning proposal, and submitted it. Rather than submitting it under the auspices of the city of Gardena, submitted it using the incorporation of the Japanese Cultural Institute,
JCI.
JCI.
Yes.
And was funded, and ADAP was formed. Wow. Right? And Mas Fukai, city councilman at the time, took money out of his own pocket to incorporate ADAP.
Man. Right? So that's some history there. Mas Fukai.
$2,000.
You remember that. Good memory. Masfukai took money out of his pocket.
I saw the check. I saw a copy of the check.
Man, that is history.
Yeah.
That is history. And that's how ADAP,
ADAP was founded.
Man.
I didn't know it went in under JCI.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
For those of us that were the Gardena community activists, we had... our biggest fear was that they would hire a whole lot of people from LA and take ADAP out of Gardena and into LA. And that's what happened.
You were going to let that happen, huh?
And that's why I'm really happy about all of the work that Mike did. Mm-hmm. You know, is that even though ADAP was taken out of Gardena. Mm-hmm. ADAP was able to service people from Gardena. Yeah. And that was our biggest fear. It's like, you know, we put in all of this work mm-hmm. into forming this organization. And I'm telling you, we spent days and nights brainstorming, putting newsprint all over the walls.
Yeah.
Of the Gardena Municipal Activity Center.
Nice.
I mean, we were up until midnight constantly conceptualizing.
Right, visioning, yeah?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
You did that. That's what it took. And it wasn't
the... So you were part of the proposal team.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, and that's why I remember very well. His name is Paul Namcom, Korean guy out of D.C.
Yeah.
That was the... he was an MSW.
He was a consultant you used?
He's a consultant that we used to put together that winning proposal.
That winning proposal, and that started the whole thing.
Well, you know Ford and Patrick Okura, right?
Yeah.
Walt lobbied it in the D.C.
So were you
collaborating with them?
I wasn't, but Carl was. Carl was. Yeah.
We're so happy that you remember these things. That's a long time ago. Kerry, thank you for sharing your relation, your history together with Mike's about ADAP's beginning. Bring it a little bit forward to PACE, Pacific Asian Consortium on Employment. Yes?
Yes, yes. And so, there were a group of us formed out of the Asian Lunch Bunch that were concerned about employment opportunities. And I talk about my career beginning at 18 years old because uh, what what we did at South Bay Asian Involvement, SBAI, was look for alternatives to drugs. Right. And one of those alternatives was helping people find jobs.
Yeah.
And so we went to, like, the local gas station and said, hey, can you give this guy a job? Mm. You know, part-time. He doesn't know how to do anything with car, auto mechanics or anything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but can you give him a job? And it's not only the local gas station, but all of the different small businesses. And I saw how transformative getting a job could be.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And so, from there, the state employment development department
hired you.
Right. And that's how I got trained as a vocational counselor.
Kerry Doy has roots as a vocational counselor. Note that employment access.
Yes, yes. And then, participating in the Asian Lunch Bunch, there were a bunch of us that were concerned about building a program that was more culturally appropriate for Asian Americans, and Pacific Islanders. And so when we heard that the Department of Labor had a grant out specifically to serve Asian Americans and Pacific Islanders, we submitted a proposal, we didn't get it.
Mm.
And so we went to Mayor Yorty.
Sam Yorty.
And said,
Sam Yorty. And has a name out of the past.
And
LA,
said,
Sam
we need to get this program funded. We don't know why you gave it to a non-Asian organization.
Ooh, so y'all threw down. You went out to the mayor.
and he said, well, it's because there's no Asian organizations with a track record.
Huh.
And so soon after that, Mayor Yorty lost his reelection to Tom Bradley.
Yes.
And so we went to Mayor Bradley and said, you know, this earmarked funds for Asians was given to a non-Asian organization.
Mm.
They spent all of the money in 6 months, and not one Asian got a job. And so you need to do something about it.
Right.
And so he told us that. It doesn't matter if an Asian organization doesn't have a track record.
Mm-hmm.
Fund an Asian organization.
There you go.
Right. And so the Asian Lunch Bunch.
Right. With
and
that
out of the Lunch Bunch.
Right.
Got together and started drafting a proposal.
How cool.
Right. And so we said, well, who's going to submit the proposal? Well, first of all, we all agreed that although that there were many Asian organizations at the time, not compared to now, but we said we as an Asian community will only submit one proposal.
Wow.
We're not going to have five organizations submit proposals.
Yeah.
We're only going to submit one proposal. And that's how the Pacific Asian Consortium in Employment was born.
PACE.
Right. And and we all agreed that ADAP was going to be the fiscal agent.
How's that?
And so ADAP was actually the parent of PACE.
I love it. I'm getting chicken skin. I don't know about chicken skin is that feeling when you just realize something wonderful. ADAP is a fiscal receiver for PACE.
Yes.
And yet, as founder of PACE, you were also involved in the formation of ADAP.
Yes.
Man, that's full circle.
Yes.
That's full circle.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Mike, what'd you think about that?
Yes.
God.
Well, I knew that. Yeah. I wasn't the director. I was working in the TC at the time.
Yeah.
But I knew that was going on. Yeah. And, you know, That's how I grew up.
Mm.
That's how I was trained, with that strategy, with that philosophy, that there are no Asian organizations, so we have to help each other, and we have to grow Asian organizations by starting projects like that. And so PACE was only the first one.
Only the first.
And there were others that came along later on. For ADAP, it was KYCC.
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 Koreatown Youth and Community Center. Right?
And a project, an outreach project of ADAP. It was two outreach workers that went out in the community and worked with the community. And after about 5 years of getting that projects, that outreach mm-hmm. team out there and garnering support of Korean community members, mm-hmm. forming a board,
right.
We incorporated it, and in 82 spun them off. We had a, can't remember what, CSBG contract,
right.
I think.
Community Service Block Grant.
$100,000, $150,000, but you know, that was signed over to them mm-hmm. as their starting funding. And, you know, we knew that if the community, the Korean community, embraced mm-hmm. them, they would grow.
Mm-hmm.
And look at them now.
You bet.
Yeah.
You bet.
They're huge.
and they're one of just a few, right? You've had others, too, that you've
burned. And, you know, that's the kind of model that worked not just only for community services, but for political action.
Mm-hmm.
We knew at the time that the Asian American community advocacy is not going to occur unless there was leadership developed. Mm-hmm. And the best way of developing leadership was to develop organizations with CEOs. The mm-hmm. more CEOs we have, the stronger our advocacy is. Mm. And so, you know, by forming new organizations with new CEOs and growing that, you know, the community gets stronger.
Right.
Now there's, I'm not sure how many API organizations, 40 or 50 or something like that,
yeah.
but,
yeah.
you know, that strength, when you have that many CEOs out in the community doing the advocacy for their organizations, that strengthens us all.
You bet. You know? That's incredible. That's a lot of alphabet soup. There's a lot of organizations, and they hear this history
yeah.
of how you both birthed other organizations, how you birthed ADAP, as well as PACE, and what you did for other emerging communities, including the Filipino community, too, as well, is really a key to prevention and holistic community building, right,
mm-hmm.
is to build organizations with CEOs. You develop people, mm-hmm. right? All right, so I'm gonna flip this a little bit and ask you, when did you guys meet? You remember when you guys met?
You know, I was thinking about that because
yeah.
I saw it on the outline. But
what was that?
I don't remember.
You don't remember?
Do you remember?
It's the earliest memory you have of Mike.
See,
okay.
You know, I was a few years behind him
okay.
because he was a director when I was a coordinator
okay.
or something.
Okay.
And so I wasn't really out in the community as much as at the time Ron Wakabayashi was.
Right.
So, you know, he worked with, Ron worked with Kerry Moore during those times.
Okay.
While I was working in the trenches, if you will.
Right.
But so I became director in 82, and, you know, I'm sure I met him before 82.
I want to say
in the course
that
of that work.
I can't remember the exact instance, the circumstance, but I want to say that I met you in Gardena.
Yeah?
Right. when ADAP was still in Gardena.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh.
All right. We'll lock that in.
That's when I was counseling Rudy.
mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, because remember my sister. Worked for ADAP.
Your sister, Carrie, worked for
ADAP. She was secretary at ADAP for a very brief period.
Man.
Yeah.
There's a lot of ties here.
What's
that?
Jasmine.
Yeah. So this is early 80s. You probably met in Gardena, right?
Okay.
You know, Carrie.
Yeah, in the
mid
70s.
Mid 70s, okay. Right, APCON was already formed, right? Asia
no.
Pacific Public Policy and Planning
no.
Council. or not yet?
Not yet.
Not yet. When did ADAP
form? Formed around 78, I think, right?
Kay. Somewhere, yeah.
78.
So the umbrella organization around our advocacy forms after, right? Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. All right. So I'm going to put you on the spot again a little bit more. I mean, what's that one thought or word? Karen, I'm going to start with you. When you think of Mike, what do you think? What's that one idea or thought that comes to mind when you think of Brother Mike?
Well, you know, I think Paulina had it right. When I was talking to her in preparation for doing this interview, she said, I forgot what the context was, but she ended up saying, well, you know, you and Mike have big personalities. And I replied, no, we're just two fucking old men.
Two goodies. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But that's what you would say. That's it. You earned that because you guys have been there from the start. All right. Reciprocally, Mike, what's that one thought you have of Carrie?
Voice of God.
VOG.
Right, you could have been voice over, Carrie. You could have made probably more money doing Voice of God for everything API.
Well, you know, my aspiration was to sell my voice to not Scary Farm, but they never bought it.
We started a Showtime fundraiser about 20 years ago.
Uh-huh.
And we had this idea that to start the show, we would have somebody anonymously
right?
call the audience to order by saying this is a voice of God. And so we thought about, well, who sounds who has a voice that sounds like that, Carrie Dog?
No doubt.
So he's been the voice of God ever since.
No doubt.
Ever since.
No doubt. Keep going. You got to honor hold that. You got to do that again this coming one, right, Mike? There's going to be another Showtime coming up?
Yeah.
Yeah, right on. Voice of God, that is apropos. That is fitting. I would say that. Right? So to your compadre, that fucking guy, we're just two old guys, and that voice of God, that shit's for real. And you could edit that out, but that is real. Thank you for that, too. So we talked about some of the people that were in the lunch bunch, right? Joyce Law. Who were some of the other folks that you guys remember, some of the other personalities? You talked about Carl. You talked about Ron, of course. Anybody else part of that lunch bunch?
You cannot leave out the Reverend Kay Kokubun.
Mm.
He's the one that organized the lunch bunch.
Mm.
Right? All of the lunch bunch meetings were all at his office.
Wow.
Right. And he has a long history of serving the Asian community too.
I remember Kay with APCF, with the Pacific Community Fund, right? And but probably roundtable.
Way before that.
Before
he goes
that.
Back
yeah.
to all peoples.
Yeah, all peoples.
All peoples community center.
Wow.
Yes.
Down south of the Garment District.
Yeah. Right. When it was all peoples Christian Center. Yeah.
Yeah.
Before people.
Well, he was the reverend.
Reverend.
He was the reverend
at all peoples Christian.
At the time when the congregation was largely Japanese American.
Mm, mm.
Yeah. After World War II.
Right. So that base.
So he goes back way back.
There's a lot of personalities that are there, countless, you know. But those are those people that you folks remember and
Royal Morales,
right? Uncle Roy.
Royal Morales.
Al Mendoza.
Mighty Manongs.
Oh yeah.
Every community had its anchors, yeah.
Yeah.
Like that, right? In the Samoan community, had the Talaifi John and them, right?
Yeah.
And Omai Fatasi.
Omai Fatasi.
Of course, Linda Mabala with Visual Mabala. Communications and telling the stories. I mean, that was an incredible time of a classic period of API history, and you folks were there, man.
Esther Soriano.
Esther Soriano. Yeah.
She was the first chair of the ADAP board.
Mm. Esther Soriano was the first chair of ADAP board.
And Gary.
Mm-hmm. Gary
Uekawa. Mm-hmm. On the first board of ADAP.
First board of ADAP, too.
First board of ADAP. We have our articles of incorporation.
With their name on it?
Their name has lived on all these 50 years on our articles of incorporation.
That's cool. That's so good. There's a lot of cross because everybody, it is clear that the API community was doing this as a collaboration, as a consortium. it was Koreans and Filipinos and Japanese Americans from Hawaii and not from Hawaii, all working together to do this together, yeah?
Mm-hmm. It's amazing how the Hawaii guys were able to get along with the Kotongs.
Okay, and then I will ask you, Brother Kerry, to operationalize and define Kotongs for the everyday citizen over here. Kotongs is another word for...
When the coconut falls off the tree, the sound that it makes is kotong, 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 because it's hollow on the inside, just like the brains of the guys born in California, hollow on the inside.
But it was, I love that delivery, but it's true. It's a term of endearment for mainland Japanese Americans by Japanese from Hawaii.
Right.
I love it. This is incredible. Any stories that you haven't told before that, you know, what's a gem of a memory or a story that you think that someone needs to hear? I'll throw that out to you guys. What is that? Is there anything? We come back to it.
You know,
I have a story.
Mike and I have been through many experiences together. And the reason why people don't know those stories is because we don't want to repeat those stories.
But they live. They live in your mind. And they're there. They're there.
Off air.
Yeah.
Off air stories.
Off air. Okay.
Okay.
You know, but I have to tell you when APCON was at its early stages, one of the big battles, if you will, community inviting, was whether or not APCON should be incorporated, right? And it was a contentious battle that lasted for a good 2 or 3 years, right? In the position that we took,
and we meaning
Mike and I,
okay,
right? It was that this association of Asian organizations should not compete for funding with its members. Right. And that if ADAP was to get incorporated, I mean, excuse me, if APCON was to get incorporated, mm-hmm. then there would be that threat.
Of competing for funds.
Of competing for funds,
yes.
Right, with its members. Mm-hmm. And that an association was active and effective because it didn't depend on staff.
Right, right.
Right, once it gets incorporated and gets funded, then all of the responsibilities go to the staff, mm-hmm. the paid staff.
Right.
Right. Okay, and so there is that model of community organizing, if you will, mm-hmm. that it's all volunteer.
Right.
And that the more volunteerism you cultivate, then the more active people become.
Right.
Right. Mike and I fought that battle for a long time.
Yeah.
People don't know about it. We don't talk about it.
But that was important to you then, and do you think it's the same now?
It's a basic principle of organizing.
Yeah.
It goes Saul Alinsky.
Right.
Basic principles. You don't compete with your members.
Very basic.
There are some true believers that mm-hmm. have carried that principle forward. Mm-hmm. The one that comes to mind strongest is Ford Kuramoto.
Mm.
You know, when he formed Napa Fossa, he never submitted a proposal that didn't get 100% blessing from all of its members.
Mm.
He was a true believer.
Meaning that if one of the members of Napa Fossa said, no, don't go
veto
for it,
power of any
veto power, anybody,
power.
Right. That's grassroots.
And so he restricted his proposal writing mm-hmm. to things that no one was interested in, no one can do or wanted to do. But needed to be done, and it maintained solidarity because of that, maintaining that principle.
Hear, hear. What Ford did was the right, was a pono thing to do, right? Pono, it means righteous, the right thing to do, right? On the principle of it. So it's all about the good peas. Well, let me ask you, APCON today, assessment of the model of API collaboration and agencies today, what would you folks, what would you two have to say about the way things are today?
I mean, like everything else, things evolve over time. Mm-hmm. Right. The purpose and the effectiveness of the Asian Lunch Bunch was totally different from the purpose and effectiveness of APCON today. Okay. Right? We're talking about, you know, 45, mm-hmm. 48,
true.
Year, 50 years ago. Mm-hmm. Right? Conditions were different. Right? There was a necessity for the leaders of the organizations just to get together in an informal way. Just to talk,
right,
about whatever subject we wanted to talk about. There was no written agenda. Mm-hmm. It was more sharing stories, right? Talk story.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. Building the bonding that needed to be built.
Yeah. So right. Different time, different function, different methods for a different time and place.
Yeah.
Right, Mike. Would you agree?
I think that what I've seen lately in APCON is that there's a part of its work that maintains that principle, mm-hmm. They will focus on the thing that need to be focused on that any individual agency or member cannot or don't want to.
Right.
And one of it is anti-Asian violence. What they have done with anti-Asian violence over the last couple of years has been stellar, and I appreciate it and I support it.
It's clear that being there from the beginning that you both have realized that, you know, that was a different era. Two generations ago, 50 years ago, two generations ago. But APCON is serving the role that it should play now. But it was different back then, right? Mm-hmm. The bonding and the formation of a pan-API kind of collective and movement was important. Yeah, the principle of it, yeah, the core values.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you have to remember that possibly the first pan-Asian service organization in LA that was formed was called the Oriental Service Center.
Yeah, right? OSC.
Yes, you know, and the use of the term
right.
Oriental
right.
Is really abrasive to me.
Yeah,
right? You know, but that was a sign of the times.
A sign of the times. Yeah, right? We've come away.
Yes.
We've come away.
Yeah.
No, that, with such stellar and almost 50 years of peace, you know, I got to ask you, each one, is there a moment, a project, a program, or service that really stands out as something that you kind of, wow, you know, this kind of defines what you have done for your respective organizations. Mike, I'm gonna ask you, is there a program, service, or project, or memory, you know, that really kind of stands out for you as your ADAP career?
Yeah, I think APYP. Yeah, and the East-West Community Partnership, those two projects went
Can you talk a little bit about
hand
those two?
In hand.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. APYP is?
The Asian Pacific Youth Center.
Mm-hmm. Youth Center? Project, APYP. Asia Pacific Youth Project.
APYP.
Because I was a part of it.
See how old I am?
I got you, bro. But what about the Asia Pacific Youth Project and the East-West Community Partnership stands out for you, Mike?
Well, you know, those projects came out of the wave of funding that came after the Reagan administration, mm-hmm. just say no project, but the policy priority that I gave to it emerged in the late part of his administration, mm-hmm. as massive new projects for substance abuse.
Right.
And we had been waiting for that and following that for years. And when it came out, we submitted and we won a contract. And in fact, won two and then a third.
Yeah.
But that project took us back to the beginning of ADAC. And that's what I liked about it.
Yeah.
Okay, because ADAP was formed by community groups like South Bay AI and Yellow Brotherhood and a number of others.
Mm-hmm.
And that project gave us the opportunity to bring together youth service serving agencies like CIPA, Asian Youth Center, et cetera.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that project enabled us to do subcontracts and provide funding for those partner agencies and to do youth work in the respective communities. So it's like taking us back.
It took us back.
20 years to the beginning. You know, and that was the first project. Then we had the gang project that was a parallel project.
Mm-hmm.
And then the East-West Community Partnership was also a coalition project.
Right.
That one was really beautiful because it was indirect service. It was the first time we've ever had a grant that was indirect service, all for organizing.
Right.
And we organized services in the different API different communities. And because it was indirect service, when Northridge earthquake came down, the feds looked around for, you know, we need to get money out in the community fast. They went to the city, the county, and they needed motions, and they needed resolutions.
Yeah.
And, you know, and they looked around, and they, I got a call and said, you know, we need to put money out there. Can you do this and that? I said, oh, yeah, we can do that. They just wrote a grant award letter and added money, about $900,000, to our
That's huge back then.
And then we put that money out there in the valley in API organizations. And
amazing.
Those projects were tremendous.
Transformative, if you will, Mike. And I testify to that because I was there. I was a young executive director at ADAP in 1991 when we had this thing called APYP, and it helped us. It helped us grow. It helped us establish systems, you know, and not just CIPA and other organizations, KYCC, right? And it was absolutely pivotal in our development. So I want to thank you for that, you know, for that time, for your leadership. With East-West Community Partnership, there's organizers that are still organizing today because of 25 years ago, right, Mike?
Yes.
Dang, snaps.
Allison Tom.
He's a dean. Dean Tom Mura.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? Got it. Right on. Well, thank you.
And the Asian Youth Center was just getting formed at that time. Now they're a multi-million dollar agency.
You popped a lot of stuff, that's the principle.
Powerful stuff.
It is. It's powerful stuff. Thank you, Mike, for walking, sharing your memorable projects. And I'm going to ask the same question, Carrie. Out of all the millions and millions of dollars of resource and all the hundreds of programs that have come through PACE and that you started, Carrie, is there one that stands out?
The short answer is no, there isn't one that stands out.
Okay.
But a couple of things. One is that we have made a difference in many people's lives. What I like to talk about is that the whole notion of multicultural diversity is easy to talk about, right? But how many people walk the walk, not just talk the talk, right? And we've been doing it for many years.
Yes, you have.
Right?
Yes, you have.
Not only Japanese, Chinese, Koreans, and Filipinos, right? But Vietnamese, Lao, Thai,
right?
We have, you know, the South Asians from India, Pakistan.
Mm-hmm.
We have Colombians, Peruvians, Salvadorians, Mexicans, Africans, and Africans from African Americans and Africans from Africa, right? People from all over the world. We're able to speak 40 different languages and dialects, and we're all working together under the same roof for the common good of the Los Angeles community, right? And I don't know how many people on staff, because we hire from the community, have come to me literally in tears, saying, you know, I am so happy, so proud to work in the PACE organization, because this is what community really is, right? And then I can't forget to talk about the social justice values.
Please do.
That everybody is equal. Everybody bleeds the same.
True. Yeah.
Right? You know, and one of the biggest reasons that the incarceration of Japanese Americans into concentration camps occurred was because there were no community organizations strong enough to stand up against that force. And so our goal has always been to build an organization that can speak up, that can contest the wrongful decisions of government placed upon our people.
And that you have.
You know, and that's the goal. Right. You know, and that's one of my biggest regrets.
Because?
Because we have not done a very good job in fighting racism. Right? When I was called a slant-eyed Jap and told, go back where you came from, when I was a little kid coming from Hawaii. That same thing has been occurring for the last 2 years.
Yeah, right.
People are still being called those names and still being told, go back where you came from.
Right.
And so that tells me we didn't do a very good job in the last 50 years. All right. But that's what we stand for. Out of all of the thousands of people that we serve every year, I'm very proud of, right? But those are our values,
right?
Our services, our programs are all rooted in our core values.
That's it.
And that's what it's all about.
Amen. The core values of both PACE and ADAP, right on. On that, Mike, I think, and Carrie, thank you for that too. That overview of, you know, really kind of just the approach of PACE, and to hear how that has been the core value of Ohana, has been operationalized here at ADAP within the recent time, Mike. I mean, it's incredible.
You know, I grew up here in the TC, you know, the therapeutic community, and the therapeutic community is based on a family model. And we've been saying the family model for 40 years, 45 years. And we've always felt that. You know, we have always encouraged that, and we've always made every effort to support each other in that context. And so the family concept has been with us for 45 years. And a few years ago, we began a process of strategic planning and retreat and looking at our core values. And the notion of Ohana was coined to reflect that, because Ohana goes beyond family. And Ohana extends that family into the community and to bring people together in a common frame of mind. And it fit us. It was synonymous with the family concept, but bigger than a family concept. And so we have coined that, and we use that now and added that to our mission statement. So we feel very good about that.
It is. It is so defining, and it's really something that you get a chance to share with other people in the community, whether it's clients or collaborators or government agencies and people take a step back and say, whoa, why? You know, they latch on to it because it's a core value, you know? So, gentlemen, I am, brothers, I'm going to flip the script a little bit and a little bit of quick random questions, okay? Quick random questions.
Now I'm scared.
Okay? No, don't be scared. Okay, so both of you have been awarded many titles, many awards, many roles. What's that one appointment, recognition, or award that stands out for you?
Well, the doctorate from CSUN for the work at ADEP was a real big deal. Mm. You know, I feel very, very proud and happy about that. But the one that I cherished even more is a little one. Hmm. It was a Carlotta Bass Award from the Community Coalition.
Coco.
Karen Bass started Community Coalition a year after we got our East-West Community Partnership.
Yeah.
Because she got the same grant.
Huh.
And she knew that we had gotten the grant a year ahead, so she called me one day and introduced herself and explained that she had just gotten an award and asked if she could pick my brain. So we got together. She came over to the house and sat at the breakfast room and talked for a couple hours over coffee. And 5 years later, Community Coalition gave me the Colorado Bass Award. That was so meaningful because I have so much respect for Karen Bass and what she has done with that coalition. Mm-hmm. She really created a coalition in the true sense of that principle of community organizing. Mm-hmm. She never competed with any of her members, and she drew people from the entire South LA communities, and was very powerful. So I'm very happy with that award. It's a little tiny one because they were very poor at the time. It's a paper award in between plastic, but I have that on my wall right in front of me, and I'm very, very proud of that.
Big time meaning, though, yeah?
Yeah, a lot of meaning.
Right. And the moment when at the annual board meeting, Karen Bass gives opening remarks and says, you know, her good friend and her mentor, Mike Watanabe, I had the double shakas up. I said, yeah, do the right thing, man. That was a nod. That was meaningful both ways. Yeah, Karen, yeah, what about that?
But great. She forgot about the breakfast room table. I thought,
minus one. You got her. You get it back on that.
Let me go back a little bit.
Go.
Because I think maybe one of my favorite awards was when I got the Okole Trophy for golf.
What did you shoot? Was it because how your score total?
Yeah,
or
because
score
because,
low?
Because I had the worst score in one tournament.
At least you're honest. Okay? But did you have a good time at that golf tournament? Yeah.
But
Okole Trophy.
The Okole Trophy.
You gonna explain to the audience what the
okay,
Okole
please.
Trophy means?
Yes.
No, I'll let Joel explain.
Well, Okole is the backside in Hawaiian, and it means you didn't do that good of a job. But he got an award for it.
but you know, I was brought to tears when I was presented the award from ADAP, and I don't even remember what the title of the award was. But I was incredibly humbled by receiving that award.
You want the award, the recognition from your compadre and your compadre and your brother sister organization at ADAP, because PACE and ADAP rolled together. That's why we're co-located here. That's why we're co-located here at the headquarters, you know. So thank you guys for taking us back down memory lane. And there's one other kind of stop down memory lane I want you to stop at. And again, this is not favorites. This is just kind of meaningful. Is there a staff person that kind of stands out for you? And I want to dig a little bit. Is there a, and it doesn't have to be, I'm not saying favorite. I'm saying.
The manga tried to make trouble.
Ah, right. I see. We're talking story, but talking story is not always easy. Talking story is a little bit of probing, yeah? A little, what you think? What? Right? So this is, we can edit it out, but this is not about favorites. I didn't say that. I am qualifying myself. But is there a staff member, literally out of the hundreds, almost thousands, that you both have worked with over the course of your career that kind of just stands out? Not favorite, stands out. Mike, what do you think? Is there one for you?
Yeah. well, you know, I'm retiring, so, you know. It's not as risky for me as it is for him, right? Okay. 'Cause he has to supervise the staff, right?
I didn't say very. Okay, go, Mike. What do you do?
But Phyllis Mickle stands out more than anyone else. Mm. Phyllis Mickle was a graduate of TUMEST, therapeutic community program in Venice. And when I was elevated to coordinator in the TC, I went looking for someone with experience. Mm. And I went to TUMEST, and I spoke to Candy Latson, who was running the program at the time, and asked him if he had anybody, and he said, I got the perfect person for you. And she was on her, she was phasing out of the program, but he said that this is one you ought to hire. And I hired her, and she was terrific. Mm-hmm. She was the most intuitive therapist I've ever seen. She never didn't have an education and didn't use the words I used with my MSW, but she could drill down into a mm-hmm. person on instinct without pausing, without hesitation, and get right at a person's core. And the two of us worked together for about 5 years, and we were powerful together. Mm-hmm. I could explain to the other academic staff what she's doing in my clinical terms, mm-hmm. and she had my back. Mm. I was sitting in a group one day, and this ex-con was mad-dogging me, and I didn't know he was mad-dogging me because I was too stupid at the time. But she jumped on his case and said, you want to stop talking? got all of his. Anyway, she grew generations of ADAP staff. Wow. Our leadership today was developed by Phyllis. There are alumni out there today mm-hmm. that all remember Phyllis. So, you know, she was the sort of the heart and core of mm-hmm. ADAP for many years. She passed away several years ago, but we all remember her.
Right. And you know, she's an angel watching over, still living, right? Yeah. Through those that she worked with and trained, including yourself, Mike. Thank you for sharing that. Sister Phyllis, right on. Carrie, I know they're not the same. I know you're still working with your staff. So this is not to cause any riff, as Mike said. But just, you know, in your 40 years plus, is there a staff member that just stands out or that you kind of, I know you're looking around saying, are we going to edit this or what? It's okay, put it down. It doesn't matter. It's just us. Bro, we're just talking story.
You know, we've had so... so many staff that I've been proud of. I'm still very proud of people that started off as a job training client that we hired into an entry level job that developed and continued to show so much potential that they got promoted through the ranks. And actually have become department directors I mean, overseeing a budget of like $10-15 million. Woo. You know, yeah. Starting off as a job training client.
Yeah.
Drum roll. If you're gonna put a gun to my head.
Well, no, we'll do the drum roll. Not the gun. We're gonna do the drum roll.
Then her name is Maria Letitia Buhai Twason. Mylet Twason was my executive assistant for something like 34 years. Ooh. Or something like that. Hmm. Just a wonderful spirit. It didn't matter if I was throwing a fit like a spoiled brat or trying to intellectualize something. She always had the same calm demeanor. She's especially, you know, when you study organizational development, what you'll find is that EDs or CEOs are very strange people. I mean, you can't be a normal person and function as a CEO. And the fact that Mylet was this was her first job.
Wow.
In America.
Wow.
And her last job, she retired. She's just the most wonderful, most besides Mike's wife, the most patient woman in the world.
There you go. Thank you for Mylet. Here's to Phyllis and Mylet, right?
Yeah.
As our Ohana members. Right, mm-hmm. Beautiful. Now we're having a good time, and I'm glad. Thank you for indulging this conversation about things that you know that you may have not talked about. Questions that may seem controversial, but it's reality, you know. And so it's very clear, Mike. You focused on individuals and individual programs. Carrie, yours is sort of systemic and the core values and the approach, and that's complementary. And you need both. You need that. You know, you need that core values and you need that progress to make organizations. And it's clear that you guys are the mighty manongs of our world. And I'm just so in awe to be here with you to ask you this kind of almost last question.
We're more than legends in our own mind. We're legends in Joelle's mind, yeah. Too.
Right? Because we look up to you guys. We look to you guys for leadership. Folks who have been around 20, 30 years. Right? Your relevance is more important now more than ever. I know Shichu. I know Kidju. That's for real.
And don't make glad at, bro.
Nah, that's it. That's real kind. And coming back to 8UP a year and a half ago, it just meant so much to me that our community welcomed me back to you. So now, it's this stage of your guys' career and lives, Mike. You made the transition, Carrie. You know, you're going to still work for however long you're going to work. But here's the issue. Being very foundational in your organizations, I want to try to ask to see what your nuggets are for the generations to come after you, right? The wisdom, the message that you want to give to all the staff members, all the volunteers, you know, all the stakeholders for both ADAP and PACE moving forward, you know, after you're gone, after this generation's gone. Can you share that, you know, kind of capture that into a message? Yeah? Mike, you want
to
go first?
It's simple to me. Okay, go. Serve the people.
Serve the people.
Very simple. We grew out of the community. We're a product of the community. We owe a debt to the community. We are not an organization above the community. We are a reflection of the community. And the staff need to all remember that's what their purpose is here, mm-hmm. is to serve the people. Mm-hmm. And so it's really that simple for me, serve the people.
Mm-hmm. Chicken skin time, okay. Chicken skin. Serve the people. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Mr. Kerry Doy.
You know, I love seeing the passion of the younger generation. Mm. Right. And it just inspires the hell out of me to be able to work even harder.
Mm.
But number one, if you want to make a good living, then get out of this business.
Right. Words of wisdom.
Yeah, because you it is hard.
What are you
saying? It's the truth, right? You see,
it's the truth. It's the truth. It's the truth. You know, and that's why at our annual staff gatherings, I call them out. Those of you that have been here for 20 years or more, stand up. Mm. Those of you that have been here for 30 years or more, stand up. Those of you that have been here for 40 years or more, stand up. And it just blows me away that we have over 100 staff that have been here for 20 years or more.
100?
Over 100 staff.
Over 100.
Yeah.
20 or more.
And that's why I say, you know what? I don't know what I got to do to get rid of you. But secondly, scientific studies have been made to show that you're healthier and you're happier if you're doing something greater than yourself.
Amen. Word. Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm always telling my staff is that it's our kuleana.
Yes. Yes, yes.
It's our responsibility. Because we stand on the shoulders of giants, those that came before us suffered so much, endured so much pain, lost so many lives, so that we could live a better life.
Yeah.
All right. And so the modern terminology is pay it forward.
Right.
But it's our kuleana.
Yes.
It's something that we have to do. It's our responsibility.
Yeah.
Right. And it is. It does make you healthier and happier if you're doing something greater than yourself.
That's right. I would support that because you guys, you don't look too bad, you guys. If you serve the people, you serve yourself. Yeah, that's kind of what I'm, it's full circle. And if you serve the self, you can continue to serve the people. It's a sustainable model that's built on service to others, of responsibility, and taking care of each other, right?
And that's what we do, and that's what that I did want to do, is provide the vehicle, provide the place for people to do that. And I'm happy that we're being able to.
That's it. You'll continue. Yeah. ADAP forevermore, Mike. That's it. We'll continue to be a place where people, it's a safe place where people can serve other people, mm-hmm. a place where people need people, and where we serve people. So thank you, Mike, for your illustrious career. I mean, mahalo you, I said that. And we said we give you a great big shaka because we want you to know everything is going to be okay because of you here at ADAP. And for Brother Kerry, for your kuleana, you know, and you're going way back to starting all these organizations and being a constant for almost half a century or more than. When did you start at Pace, Kerry?
Well, we opened our doors in January of 75.
75,
right?
Okay.
But we started the groundwork, the community organizing in 73.
In 73.
Right? And there were a number of us that have been involved in the Asian community movement in LA since the late 60s.
Yes.
I know, but I have to say, you know, that back then, the average lifetime of a staffer in an Asian organization was 3 years.
3 years?
After 3 years, it was burnout.
You're PAL ready.
PAL.
And then you do something else.
Yeah.
Really? Right. Did you? Wow.
Right. Right. You know, just because it takes so much emotion. It takes so much out of
you.
Right. Right. And especially if you have that passion. Right. Then it can take a big toll on you. Right. And let's face it, the compensation that we offer is not as much as what the city or the county or any government agency can offer.
True.
Right?
True.
And so people do move on to better things. But what has happened is that we have become, quote unquote, agencies. Mm-hmm. But we're different from municipal agencies.
For sure.
Right? Because we have core values.
Yes. Yes, we have core values.
Right? We have a mission.
Yeah, we have a purpose.
We have a purpose, yeah. Right? Yeah. That's how we're different.
Yeah.
Right? You know? And that's one of the things that I am most proud of Mike, is that he has built a culture. Right? You know, and there are many things. I mean, it's easy to be a boss. Anybody can be a boss. But how many can be a leader?
True.
Yeah. Right? And that's what a leader does. Yeah. Right? And that's what Mike did, is he built a culture. That's now, right. Let me say, you know, Mike screwed up. I screwed up. We both screwed up. Mm-hmm. Okay? But what stands out, what's most important, is that all of the people's lives that ADAP has made a difference in add up to a community.
That's right.
And that's what Mike has built over these years, is a culture of service and family.
Here, here.
Right? You know, and so as Mike starts to write his final chapter, people need to understand that.
Mm.
You know, it's not an easy thing to do, to be a good leader. It's easy to be a manager. Mm-hmm. It's easy to be a boss and be as dogmatic as you want to.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But it's hard to be a good leader. And Mike has demonstrated that he's a good leader.
You're here. Well said. Where's the Mambuhay toast?
No, you gotta pay me. You gotta pay me.
We gotta toast. We should be toasting. Okay, well, let me end this up. You know, let me pow this. We want to thank our listeners and our collective families that have tuned in maybe the first time or long term, whether you're a staff member of ADAP, a former staff member of ADAP, or PACE, or if you're just talking about how the very resilient community-based groups and nonprofits in Asian and Pacific Islanders have worked over the course of two generations to serve the people and to serve themselves and to pay it forward, then we think that that's a good message for prevention every day in every way, that you got to serve the people. And if you could serve the people, you'll be taking care of yourself and your family too as well. So Joel Jacinto signing off here at ADAP headquarters with the president and CEO, president emeritus of ADAP, Mr. Mike Watanabe, and the president and CEO of the Pacific Asian Consortium of Employment, Mr. Kerry Doy. Let's give them a round of applause.